Hello, everybody. How are you today? Welcome to episode 101 of Let's Talk with Skogs. This week's guest is singer-songwriter Fire. Her debut single is out now called Lotus Wings. And Fire, through our conversation, I found out this is a relaunch of her project under this new name. She has found herself, her identity, this journey, but also admitting that this is a continual journey. We continue to discover things about ourselves, challenge ourselves, learn about ourselves. And it was a great conversation, sort of a spiritual awakening in terms of physical and mental health and setting boundaries. And it's just a great lesson to be learned through these conversations. So thank you, Fire, for being so generous with us. Again, you can stream Lotus Wings. Towards the end of the episode, we get into a little bit of advice. So I hope you enjoy this one. Here's episode 101 with Fire. Okay, I think we're in. And we're in!
Yay!
Yay! Well, Fire, it's so nice to meet you. I've been researching and listening to your song all day. So welcome to the show.
So honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And what part of the country are you in at the moment?
I'm currently in Venice, California.
Ooh, fun.
Yes, I love it here.
A very eclectic, charismatic, creative, sort of like anything goes part of town, which is sort of fun.
Yeah, it always feels like coming home when I'm here. I lived here for 6 months a couple years ago, and it's just such an uplifting, fun vibe to be close to the ocean. All good things.
Yes, because there are parts of LA that can feel sort of stuffy, I guess.
Totally. Yeah. I'm never really in one place for too long, honestly.
Yeah.
I've been moving around quite a bit the last couple years, so I'm just in an Airbnb currently.
Nice. Well, Venice is fun. There's a lot to do. Like you said, you're right by the water. There's great restaurants over there, and everybody is uniquely in their own space and kind of doing their thing.
That is for sure. Totally.
Yeah. Okay, well, I did a lot of research, but I love to hear it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. I'm always so curious in the idea of a journey, you know, like the ups and downs, the pitfalls, the successes, the perspectives that we gain as we go through life. And, you know, I have to hear, I like to see the whole picture so I can appreciate how far someone has come.
Totally.
Into who they are today. And since this is your first song, there is so much about you that I don't know. And I would love for you to share whatever you want to share about how we got here.
Yeah. Well, it's been a long time coming to get to this point in time. But really, my music journey started as early as I can remember. I loved listening to music in the car with my mom and my family. And I really started making up songs and not knowing I was songwriting just because I'd feel things so deeply and it would just need to burst out of me. And so that's kind of how my journey started, was just singing around the house and making up songs in the bathtub. And And then it sort of evolved as I grew older. I was a ballerina, actually. That's how my performance love started. Wow. I got into ballet with my older sister, and my mom danced ballet. And I just loved classical music. And it really inspired my singing, actually. So I went deep into the ballet world and I moved away from home at 16 and joined a ballet company actually in New York City.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And through this whole period, in ballet, we don't talk. You know, you only speak if you're being spoken to, and it's very silent. It's a very silent art form, which was interesting because I'm such a talkative, loud person normally. But I just loved expression, whether it be through my physical body or my voice. So that whole period of really diving into ballet, I was writing so many songs and just really feeling the need to express myself through my voice. But I wasn't having that opportunity. So then I was with this ballet company and I got injured. I got two stress fractures, one in each shin.
Oh.
And it was the most exciting year of my life. This was my dream ballet school. I was Russian trained. All my teachers were from Russia. It was very serious atmosphere. And it really did take a toll on my mental health. And my therapy was going in my little apartment room with all the other ballerinas and singing. Mm. And when I got that injury, it forced me to quit. The year that I started to make money, basically turn pro, was the same year that my injury took me right out of it. And it did not seem to progress. I just couldn't get back into ballet. So that was a really heartbreaking period of my life. Because I had sacrificed so much. I was homeschooled to dance. I really was passionate and desired it. And from a very young age, I said, I'm going to be a ballerina and then I'm going to be a singer. And my parents were always super supportive over that. And I was very ambitious and naive. And so, yeah, when my ballet career collapsed, that's when I was like, okay, I'm going to take this depression and this loss of identity and sing about it. Mm-hmm. So that's really how the music started to become my life.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I have so many questions. Okay. So my exposure to ballet is that I am not graceful. So I never tried it.
Yeah.
But my understanding of ballet is it's a lot of discipline. Mm-hmm. It's very hard on your body. It can be very hard on you mentally.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I watched the movie Center Stage probably 5,000 times.
I love that movie.
It's so good. But it does touch on the dark sides of ballet, and then never mind Black Swan. Like, that's like a whole other take on it.
Yeah.
But in Center Stage for, you know, a young girl, it does really kind of highlight how ruthless and cutthroat, and it's such a beautiful art, and the music and the stories, and like it'll make you cry, you know. Yeah. But it is really hard. And I just want to applaud you for being so determined and sticking with something that you were so passionate about. Like, whoa.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's Thank not you. Easy.
I was really, you know, I've been really blessed with parents that are so supportive over my unique decisions in life. But yeah, the ballet world was pretty dark. It's such an interesting duality, the beauty and the darkness.
Yes.
And it really plays into both very strongly, which gave me a lot to talk about. And I felt like I had so much to say because I felt quite muted through that whole period of my life, which was my whole childhood. But yeah, it was a journey and devastating and heartbreaking. And, you know, I think we all try to find an identity, especially my younger self. I really was searching for an identity, and I loved being able to be like, I'm a ballerina. My ego loved that. So it was an ego death. It was my first real understanding of an ego death when that happened. And then from there, my brother was a drummer, and he was going to Musicians Institute in Hollywood for drumming. And so I don't play any instruments. I mean, I do now. I do sound healing, which is a whole nother thing. But he kind of took me under his wing, and with one of his buddies, we started recording because I had songwriting was just natural for me. And I would storytell more in a almost folky style. I didn't really understand the method to it, but I would have these long-winded stories. And so we would go over to my brother's friend's house and we would record these songs, and next thing you know, some people around me started to notice what I was doing, and we were sharing it on YouTube very casually, and kind of just a synchronicity, and the universe just really validating this calling for me was Allison Porter. Is a singer. She actually won The Voice a couple years ago. She's incredible. And we danced together. She was my lyrical teacher. at a ballet studio. She's an incredible dancer as well. And she would hear me sing in the ballet dressing rooms, and she always knew that it was a passion of mine, but she was really happy to see that I was pursuing it seriously. And she said, come over, let's write a song together. And I want to introduce you to my friend. So I came over to her house, and she had her friend come over named Eli Rise, and he's an incredible pianist and producer. And I sang for him, and he was very quiet and didn't say much. And I was like, oh, does he hate it? And what's going to happen? And this was years and years ago. And he ended up loving me.
Great.
And I ended up loving him. Oh. And so we started to make pop music together, which was so much fun because I love classical music. I love like the Fiona Apple. That's always who I grew up singing mm-hmm. covers of for fun. But this brought out both sides of me that I never got to express in ballet. And so that's really how we started working together. And then he introduced me to Eric Vaughn, who is a producer as well. And since then, we've been working together since I was very young. And this story really is a crazy journey. But that's who I wrote the song Lotus Wings with. Those are both my producers to this day.
Amazing. Oh my gosh. I love there's every time I meet someone like you that's like in this in one of the most difficult industries, and there is just an organic thread that is like step by step brings you along and sort of like opens a door, and then you go through it. And, you know, a lot of folks think it's just, oh, you're discovered in a mall and then you're a pop star. It's, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of folks recognizing talent in someone and saying like, hey, I want to help you. Let me introduce you to someone, because introducing you to one person could change your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it did. It did in a lot of ways.
Oh, wow. And so that brings us to Lotus Wings.
Yeah.
The debut, your debut single. It's out.
Yeah, it's out. It's so wild that it's out.
So, I mean, it's been out for a few weeks or almost a month, I guess. It came out in July, and at the moment it's August.
Crazy.
So how has the past, does it feel the way you imagined it would feel releasing a single? Is it different?
It really actually took me by surprise how it felt emotionally, especially with this specific song. It has a lot of meaning for me in just my own personal journey. And it's really about my self-love journey and my spiritual journey. And it was so interesting to release it. It brought up a flood of feelings of you know, some feelings that needed to be illuminated, some shadows. When you put out a song, there's an expectation, I think, that every artist has, that it would be an overnight success. And there's a lot of work that comes with releasing and the unknown, just inner work of facing the unknown. So putting out this song had so much momentum prior to putting it out. So much energy within me that by the time it came out, it was this big emotional release of so many feelings, excitement, joy, also like nervousness, insecurity, fear. So it was really interesting because I don't think I saw that coming prior to the release.
Well, I would imagine that, you know, through all of this, the whole thing has been a new experience. Because you're at the beginning, right? Like for someone who's at the beginning, you've had a lot of experiences, I would say, than the average person. and your ability to channel all of that genuine feeling into your very first single, because I would also imagine that a lot of first singles are maybe not as personal for most artists. Because they may not have, you know, they may have written it before they had big losses or big successes or had to overcome things. But you basically already had that journey as a ballerina.
Yeah.
So like you said before, you had a lot to say.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Definitely a lot to say.
And it's just so admirable to see, you know, a first single have so much, I guess, for lack of a better word, substance, you know?
Thank you. I really appreciate
it. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. And sonically, had you decided, like, at what point did you decide how you wanted to sound? Because I know you mentioned that you sort of understood more storytelling, folk kind of thing. So what elements brought in, like, the sonic part of the music?
Well, I would really say the inspiration for me is sort of in other realms, otherworldly. Mm-hmm. I love things to feel like they're really taking you on an out-of-body experience. And that's how the journey and the story, the specific story that I'm sharing in the song and in the lyrics. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted it to feel fun and like you can move your body to it. It's also interesting because this journey didn't start with this song. We actually weren't sure which song we were going to put out first. I was leaning towards a different song, and I had a meeting with my producers over the winter, and Eric said to me, what song, if you could pick any song, what's your best song and what would you put out first? And, you know, the question of your best song is totally objective. But this song personally was so inspiring for me. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, Lotus Wings. And we kind of pivoted because that's not what we were going to do. And he was like, let's do it. Let's put out Lotus Wings. So that's kind of how we got here. And my producers are so incredible with, I really feel like we understand our sound and the unique style and even the tone of voice and all of these little details, we've really sealed that in at this point in the game. Mm-hmm. And we have had, it's been a long time coming because this is my first single as Fire, but I was not always Fire. I evolved and transformed into Fire. Mm-hmm. We put out two other singles under my birth name, which is Emma. Mm-hmm. And we put those two singles out. And then I started to go through major changes in my life, as mm-hmm. well as the rejection I felt from the industry. And this was in my very early 20s. And I'm still in my 20s, but I feel like we change a lot in our 20s.
Oh, yes. Alrighty, this week we are sponsored by the Dr. Knot All-in-One Dryer Brush by Conair. I've got long hair. I can't bring myself to cut it short, but I do deal with a lot of, you know, tangling. So this product is equipped with innovative detangling technology to remove knots with no sags and ionic technology to reduce frizz. The Dr. Knot All-in-One Dryer Brush by Conair is all you need to create that just came from the salon blowout at home, quick and easy, and it's ideal for all hair types. So this is a product that you can buy and share with friends. It detangles, it dries, it styles, it volumizes all in one step. It has ion generators that leaves your hair silky, smooth, and frizz-free. It has three different heat settings plus a cool setting, so every hair type this will work for. Bonus volumizing attachments included, and they add lift to your roots. And it's got that 8-foot professional cord, so you have a lot of space to get this around your room. You can go to conair.com and search for dryer brush. And again, that product is the Dr. Knot All-in-One Dryer Brush by Conair. Can't wait. Thanks, Conair. Would like to thank our sponsor this week, Dame. So on the show, we try to promote mental health, physical health, and sexual health is also part of that conversation, but it's one that we're not having enough. So I am so thrilled that Dame has continued to sponsor the show. They are cultivating pleasure to enrich well-being. Now, women are 4 times more likely than men to say that sex is, quote, not at all pleasurable in the past year. Your sexual health is a part of your well-being. It is self-care, it is looking out for yourself, and Dame's mission is to close the pleasure gap. These products are developed and tested by real people in the Dame Labs, and they are engineered to bring solo and couple play to new heights. A couple of product highlights. They have the Ava. No hands, no hassle. This product allows more control. It's a couple's vibrator. We also have the Palm, which is a flexible vibrator. And we've talked about it before. We're always seeking out what's right for us, and you shouldn't have to compromise what is most important. And our relationships should add value to our lives. And your intimate relationships are just as important as how you communicate with one another. So go to dameproducts.com/scogs, S-C-O-G-G-S, today for 15% off site-wide. Again, go to dameproducts.com/scogs today for 15% off site-wide. Thank you for your support, Dame.
Yeah, so we put out those two singles and they did good. And I got a lot of attention from labels and whatnot. And I had the idea in my fresh brain that I would put out these singles and I would get a deal and I'd get signed and go on tour and this and that. And that's not the way that life happened. I ended up going through a lot of deep struggles mm-hmm. and the rejection, and my intention for wanting to be an artist just wasn't really grounded in the highest vision for myself. I think at that point in my life, I was really looking for external validation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I made the decision to really step back from all the meetings and the effort, and recognizing that all that trying was becoming a block, because I lacked the maturity to surrender. Mm-hmm. And I recognize now in my life as an artist, the most important thing I can do is surrender. And I was pushing and pushing for all of this to come out and be perfect and make it happen. And when it wasn't, I really asked the universe, is this what I'm supposed to do? Mm-hmm. Like, is this what I'm supposed to do? Because I came to a boiling point ahead where I was no longer willing to just push for my own ego, if that makes sense.
Oh, yes.
I just recognized that I was causing myself pain, and I was ready to up level, and I was ready to give it all up and say, what's my purpose here? Because I strongly believe we all come to this planet with a divine purpose. And when something is not working, and you're kind of going against the grain, my idea of what to do in that position is to ask for guidance. And so I just asked the universe, in this situation, what do you want me to do? If I'm supposed to be a singer, I'll do it. If I'm supposed to sing for two people, if I'm supposed to do, you know, I'm a sound healer as well. So mm-hmm. It was just this big moment, again, another identity loss, which is a pattern. Sure. Here.
I mean, there's so much that you're sharing.
Yes.
It's familiar to me, very familiar. And one of the things that you mentioned, the external validations.
Yeah.
I hope that everyone listening that will hear this, any of your fans that you share this with, anyone who stumbles across this interview 5 years later after Fire has a Grammy nomination or like headlining tour, whatever it is. This message of not looking for external validation,
yeah,
and going inward and being honest with yourself about what you want, need, and deserve from this one life that we get.
Yeah.
Process has to be the part that gives you butterflies. The outcome, for most of us, it's out of your hands.
Yeah.
You know, how somebody reacts to your music. You know, some people might love it and it might change their life and be the voice that they need. And somebody else might skip, you know, it's just not for them.
Totally.
But writing that song and getting all those feelings out and working with collaborators, like that process, like that, what I've learned has to be the part that just keeps you going, because that's the only part we have any influence in, is enjoying who we work with, who we share, and for, as corny as it sounds, finding ourselves. Like you keep talking about identity. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, I had that for like a good 8 years. I was up and down.
Totally. And I think our society, you know, from a young age, it shapes us to think we have to have an identity. What is an identity? Mm-hmm. And we start putting all these hats on to make up ourselves. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm this, I'm this. And what happens when we take off those layers and we can just look at ourselves, you know? And that's where I came to. That's kind of the point that I came to, was I recognized the younger version of myself who really was struggling with all kinds of things within myself, substance abuse, the need to fit into the society, to look a certain way, all those pressures that I think we all relate to, I was consumed by. And in the music industry, a lot of it's about fame. Yeah. And I think there was a big part of me that was chasing that. Of course, I had the desire to inspire people and whatnot. But when I wasn't coming from a place where I was fulfilled within my own soul, within my own heart, who can I really inspire? I'm coming from a place of lack, needing others to be inspired by me to feel fulfilled, which I think is why the universe was not aligning the opportunity. I would get so close. I can't even tell you how many times I'd get so close to getting a contract signed and thinking it would all happen, which is not necessarily, I mean, look at all the stories out there where people get signed and that's the very beginning. Mm-hmm. But the fact that that door was not opening ended up being a blessing, because it made me face myself, do the real work, really heal on a deep level, and then come back in this place of transformation and elevation and be able to share this music with a place of non-attachment, because I just trust so deeply that this is my purpose, this is my path. And even if it doesn't come overnight, which it hasn't and it probably won't have, I am open to all the miracles because of that trust within myself.
Yeah. The funny thing too is, like, using the touch point of signing a contract, right? Before you had done all this work, before you have, you know, figured out what makes you happy and what you need, you could have signed that contract and expected that you're going to wake up the next day and everything's just going to be fixed.
Yeah.
But it wasn't going to.
No.
Like, we all have to do that work.
Totally. And I'm so grateful it didn't happen. Like, it would have been really frightening if it would have worked out and I would have got that success at that vulnerable place in my life. I feel like, how lucky am I to be able to have the time to work on myself before putting myself out there, because it's a hard industry.
Oh yeah. Are there any books or certain music or just any, or a person that sort of, you know, I have a whole toolkit. Just one thing, but is there anything that helped you sort of come to that realization, or was there any like aha moment, I guess, to use an Oprah term?
Oh yeah. There was a lot of big moments of clarity. And I think the biggest moment came from when everything in my life started to feel like it was collapsing. Like I had nothing to grasp anymore. And at that point, was the moment where I really decided, I'm going to show up fully for myself. I'm going to change my own life. I'm going to be my own hero, which is what that lyric is referring to in the song, the hero that I've always been. It's recognizing, and rather remembering, this is who I am. All these masks and trying to fit in and trying to be something I'm not was just my way of trying to cope without knowing the tools. So my biggest tool was looking in and cradling those darker feelings within me and holding space for the neglect, for the shame, the guilt, the self-hatred, holding space for that, cradling those feelings and loving them. Because what I recognized in that darkest moment was, if you love something and you really love it, the only thing it can reflect back at you is love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I had a conversation last week with another artist who's, you know, just finding her footing and everything. And she said to me, we become who we needed most.
Mm.
And yeah. I was like, wow.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Cause, you know, we had a very similar conversation about, you know, kind of needing to find your most authentic self to really launch your career as an artist, because that's when it's real.
Yeah.
That's when you can receive, and that's when you can give. And I think that's not just for artists, but I mean, for me, when I figured myself out, I was like, oh, there she is.
Yeah.
We got this now.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said that we become who we needed most. And that really just clicked for me. It completely made sense. And I had those aha moments too. I remember where I was. Like, it's just, it's wild. And that wasn't something that was explained was going to eventually happen. It was just angsty. I don't know what I'm doing. Band-aid. Angsty. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm doing. It was just like a real cycle of being a 20-something. And it wasn't until I went inward and did all that work and kind of like talked to myself a bit that it sort of all became clear, you know?
Yeah.
I don't have a talent for songwriting, but I could imagine that if I did, it would be an overwhelming need to express all of that and create art, you know? And I'm just very grateful that there's artists that are, I'm not sure what the right word is, but they're harnessing all of those feelings and they're making something of substance. Like I had mentioned before, like this song has a lot going on because people like me need them because I can't do it. So I need you to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that. And we all have our things, right? We all have our magic.
Sure.
But yeah, I feel that so deeply. It's so beautiful to see so many inspiring artists that are harnessing their pain and using it as a threshold for love. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's really what it is about.
Yeah. So we have, I mean, I don't want to not take a moment and live in the Lotus Wings moment, but for the purposes of letting people know more about what's going on with you this year, what are the next steps in this journey?
Well, we have so many songs. I have so many songs that I've been writing. I have so many songs that are finished. So we're kind of deciding if we want to put them out one at a time, if we want to put it out as an EP. Mm-hmm. So we're in that decision mode. But we have so much up our sleeves. This is really just the very, very beginning. And there's so many songs that I love that I'm just dying to put out and videos as well. So I have a lot of content and stuff that we've been creating that is just at that very great place of being ready to share it with the world.
Oh, that's so exciting. And is there anything that surprised you about where you've come through, especially after, I mean, we all had a shared experience of this pandemic.
Yeah.
For me, the first couple of weeks were kind of like, okay, we get to be in sweatpants. And then it was, but wait, when are we coming out of our sweatpants? And I felt very stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually we saw the light and it's, you know, the light is dim right now, but I can see it.
Yeah.
And as an artist who may have been in a momentum phase or like, how did that affect you kind of having that stillness in the world?
Well, it was very shocking, I think, for all of us. But for me, I had actually just written the song Lotus Wings.
Oh, wow.
And was building this momentum of really feeling super aligned with the music and the direction and just feeling really clear and ready to put this stuff out. And then when the pandemic hit, I really used it as a time to dive in very deep into my songwriting and my meditation, my inward world, because that's mm-hmm. where all this inspiration visually and sonically is coming from. So even though all the stuff outside of me was quite tragic that was happening, I really personally, feels a little weird saying this, but I personally had a good experience.
Good.
With just having this space to really dive in. Of course, it's been hard. It's had its waves, I would say.
Sure.
I ended up going to Maine thinking I'd be there for 3 weeks because my partner's from Maine. Mm-hmm. So when this all got very crazy, I was in California and I just thought, okay, this would be a great time to go visit family and I'll go to Maine for 3 weeks. And I don't know why in my head I had it that this pandemic would be 3 weeks, but yeah. I did. So I brought a tiny little carry-on and ended up staying there for 6 months.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah. With very limited clothes. Mm-hmm. But I really did utilize that time to get really clear on my vision and start to create ideas for music videos and all that stuff. So when I came back in September, it was really time for me to start creating the manifestation of those visions and those songs, which since September, I've been able to work on a lot of songs and record them with my producers. And that's been really, really rewarding. But yeah, this pandemic's been a very interesting time, to say the least.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited that there's so much to look forward to. I'm excited to hear more.
Thank you.
For the purposes of getting to know you a little better, are you open to playing a little game?
Ooh, yes. I love games.
So this game is called Overshare.
Perfect.
So far, we've been doing great.
Good.
Yeah, I'm
good at oversharing.
Yes. I got a bag with all these little conversation starter questions. Some are very thoughtful. Some are very silly. And we're going to kind of like be on a first date a little bit.
I love it.
Okay. So the first question is, we'll do three of them. This one says, what are some goals you have already achieved?
I love that. Wow. What are some goals that I've already achieved? Well, this was a big one, putting out this single.
Yes.
That was a goal. Some other goals were just more personal. Mm-hmm. My goal to fall in love with myself, I achieved that quite beautifully. Mm-hmm. My goal to dive deep into my meditation and sound healing and take classes and courses on that. Mm-hmm. Got to dive into those things even deeper. I mean, to be honest, there's a lot that I'm proud of at this point in my life. And mm-hmm. most of those things have to do with who I've become because mm-hmm. I just used to be such a different person. So yeah, the biggest thing that I'm proud of is who I am.
Aww. I relate to that so much. I guess just, you know, piggybacking off of some goals that are more tangible, like you know, releasing a single.
Yeah.
Early 2020, I got my 200-hour yoga teacher training done. It literally ended March 12th, 2020.
Oh my gosh.
So just made it. But then also nobody needed yoga teachers. So I was kind of like, what am I going to do here?
Yeah, I feel that.
Yes. But I realized I wanted to teach kids mostly. Mm. And my husband and I relocated from Los Angeles to Oklahoma City. It's a very long story why Oklahoma City, but it's a great little city. It's very diverse. There's a lot going on in a very wild state. But I have been fortunate enough to find a community here. And I, this summer, taught two kids yoga camps.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
It just, I love it so much. And giving little 5 and 6 year olds tools about breathing and stillness and also having lots of fun. It was a goal of mine to be getting, you know, get to teach kids. And I sort of had a realistic understanding of, well, might not happen anytime soon just because of, you know, COVID and such. But luckily, you know, it worked out a bit and it was a blast. And it was such a rush of, oh my God, you did a thing that you said you wanted to do and it felt good.
Wow. Oh, I'm so happy for you and proud of you.
Thank you.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. So it's, I think it's good to set goals for yourself.
It really is.
And you know, sometimes you might accomplish them and sometimes you may feel really good about it. And sometimes you might accomplish them and it won't feel the same way. But, in speaking to another goal being that you are happy with yourself and in love with yourself, I feel like piggybacking off of that, I also have a way of creating expectations for myself that are reasonable and fulfilling rather than setting myself up for disappointments, kind of.
Yeah, that's so delicious.
Yeah. so that's something that I'm proud of, and I hope to get to do more, especially as, you know, the world becomes a little bit safer to, you know, be together and yada yada. But yeah, that's what I'm proud of.
I love that. That is a big deal. And I know how much work those teacher trainings are. And becoming a yoga teacher is a huge, beautiful journey and gift. So just honoring that, your journey and all of that, so beautiful.
Thank you. And I feel like I should get some sound healing involved with my yoga practice. That sounds like a good pair.
Yeah. The sound heal, I actually started as a yoga teacher.
Nice.
And then this, it's evolved over the years. And I feel like it's a little bit unique for a pop singer to also be a yoga teacher and a sound
healer. No, I love it.
But it's really helped my artistry in so many ways because both of them are very creative. Mm-hmm. And the music and all of it's really inspired the verbiage that I use in a lot of my songs. I mean, some songs are more shadowy and darker, but I really like to share little conscious nuggets in my lyrics. And that's been a reflection of my practice for sure.
Well, Lotus, I mean, right there in the
yeah.
In the first song. Okay, let's do a silly one.
Yeah.
Okay, pet peeves. Do you have any pet peeves?
You know I do. Let's think. I mean, everyone has pet peeves. I would like to think I'm a patient person, but I have to say I'm not that patient. It's always been something that I've struggled with. That's why I need all the meditation and the mindfulness because I get sassy when I have to wait around for someone. And I try so hard to be like, okay, like breathe, like it's tune in. But that is a pet peeve of like being late. I hate being late. I hate waiting. If someone says like, we're going to do something at this time, that's something I could work on, to be honest.
I identify with that. I have a hard time with we say we're gonna do something and then I'm ready to go and I'm in the mind frame of like, okay, we're gonna do that thing, and then we're not anymore because we've gotten held up or someone's late, or I actually that's a good point. I have a hard time sort of readjusting.
Yeah, I'm stubborn.
Yeah.
Totally.
I noticed today that I have a pet peeve with myself.
Oh no.
I use a lot of cups every day. Mm. Like, I forget that I've already filled a cup of water and put it down somewhere. And then I go back to where I'm working and I'm like, oh, I need a cup of water. And then I go make one. And then I'm like, oh, I left it in the kitchen. And then by the end of the day, I've used like 5 cups. It's very annoying.
That's so relatable.
Yeah, that's a very silly one, but it kind of hit me today that that's something I do. So I'm going to work on
that. I do that too. I do
that. I want to be hydrated.
Yeah, it's important.
Yes. Okay, last one. What is a song that always puts you in a good mood?
Oh, so many, but anything by Bob Marley, like you can't mm-hmm. listen to Bob Marley and not feel amazing, right? Mm-hmm. It's everything that, I mean, I just love Bob Marley. It's my go-to.
Yeah. Yeah. The first song that came to mind for me is I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston.
That's the best.
It always puts me in a good mood. And if I have anyone willing to go to karaoke with me, that is always the song that I sing because everybody knows it and loves it. And no one expects me to hit those notes because it's Whitney Houston, so it's fine.
I love it.
It is just a really fun song, and I can't help but smile when I hear those opening do-do-do-do-do. Like, oh.
Gosh. Oh, yeah. I'm so with you on that one.
It's a great little song. Or not a little song. It's quite a big one, actually.
It's a
big one.
It's a pretty big one.
It's a pretty big one. Okay, so the last little bit of the show is we give advice. So listeners have written in questions, and it's just kind of luck of the draw, whatever question that you get. So this segment is called Asking for a Friend.
So cute.
Yay. So imagine you're giving this advice to your best friend.
Okay.
So the question is, how to stay motivated when nothing is going your way and you feel like giving up? Do you have any advice?
Such a good question. I think when you're at that place of feeling like giving up, it's really important to allow yourself to express that feeling, whether it's screaming in a pillow, whether it's having a good cry and listening to some emotional Adele, or journaling. Like, it's important to hold that feeling because I think in my experience of trying to stay motivated, if I'm feeling density and I'm just trying to push through and be really stubborn about it, that density is going to stay within me. And then I'm just going to bring that into whatever I'm creating. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to create space for you to let go of that and honor that process of, you know what, what is this? What's keeping me from moving forward? Mm-hmm. And once we can identify that density and dive into it, then it's no longer holding us back. And then we're re-inspired. It's sort of like an inner clearing. Mm-hmm. So once you can clear out that gunk, and then you can receive, you know, then you're the receptive mode and you can receive. Okay, maybe it comes back to the journal. What is it that you want to create and why? And just going back to your why is always so helpful. Like, what is the purpose? What is the intention of this? What energy am I going to infuse into this? And really taking time to dive into that why can bring that inspiration, ignite that fire again. So that's sort of my little system.
Oh, that's a great system.
Thank you.
I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Like letting go, like whatever you're feeling. What does my therapist say? She's always like, name it to tame it. So
yeah,
when I, maybe it's not that I'm not motivated, but sometimes I get stuck and it's hard to focus and I get kind of wobbly and it's hard to move forward. I have to address that feeling. It's like what you're saying about like cleaning that gunk out. So like I have to say I'm feeling this way, acknowledge it, to your point, maybe journal about it or take a walk or call my mom or, you know, something and kind of acknowledge the feeling. And then I can move past it. And I like what you said about going back to the why when staying motivated. It's like you're going to get frustrated. I guarantee that there will be no's in your life.
Yeah.
People will say no to you. People will say it's not going to work out. People will say it's not your time. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think sort of like having the tools to face those moments, like feel them.
Yeah.
And then move past them and just refocus on your why, like you said. But it's hard to do that, you know?
It is hard. It is so hard. And I think to add to what you're saying, it's like once we go to our why and we rediscover the motivation behind the goal, it's so important to create I am affirmations. You know, I am this. I am. Because when we start to align with that vibration, with that energy, it's like, yeah, it brings back life into us.
Yes.
And we're only as big as our beliefs. So I'm all about the I am affirmations. They've changed my life. So simple, might sound cheesy, but even putting like post-it notes on your mirror, I've totally gone into that rabbit hole.
Oh, I used to have them all over my wall.
Yeah.
Like too many of them.
It's life changing though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I even started meditating with a mantra because I just needed something to ground me, to sort of like bring me back into my body when I get overwhelmed. And I can even now I can even do it when I'm stuck in traffic. I can just like, it kind of, it's like a Pavlovian response now where it just like automatically is soothing. But all of those I am affirmations are just reminders of, you know, you're not doing anything wrong because you're stuck in life. That's what's guaranteed to happen to all of us. But how you respond is kind of where you see where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. So
absolutely.
Yeah, surround yourself with positive messages, whether they're next to your bedside table, in your bathroom, in your car, wherever. Yeah.
Totally. And like the positivity, I think some people get hung up and they're like, oh, if I'm positive, is that bypassing? That's why I think what we're saying of like holding space for the denser feelings, or maybe the feeling of not feeling worthy enough or not good enough, holding space for that and seeing that for what it is. And until we truly hold that space, can we receive and come into that I am affirmation?
Yeah. Once you do it, it kind of is like there. But yeah, getting yourself to the first couple of times is very hard.
Yeah.
Oh, in my experience.
Totally. Yeah. No, I'm on the same page.
Oh, fire. You're great.
Thank you so much. You're great.
I just quickly want to give you the floor so that everybody knows where to stream and subscribe and like and everything. So let the people know where to find you and what they need to be doing.
Yeah. Well, definitely find me on Spotify. A lot more music will be coming out on Spotify and all the streaming platforms. And that's under my name, Fire. And on Instagram, it is I Am Fire, as well as TikTok. So that's where you can find me. And I'm just so looking forward to connecting with who's ever listening and sharing more music as well with all of you.
Yay. Well, congratulations on all the work you've done, inward and outward. And please come back the next time you have something to talk about or share, or just anytime. Please
come back. Absolutely love it. Such an honor to chat with you.
Likewise. Well, have a beautiful day. We'll talk soon, and I'm going to keep my eye out for the next music, the little drop of music.
Yay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Talk soon.